I thought we did a pretty good job yesterday handling the ebbs and flows of the ball game. It was a hard-fought game that came down to making a play at the very end. Fortunately, we were able to do that. And with that, I'll open it up for questions. Daryl?
Yeah, Coach, can you relive that last two-point conversion? You got Ashante in there at the last minute to kind of match up with them and so forth. And,
well, it was. I thought it was a very good job by our coaching staff. We gave up the touchdown and in a cover zero, and then we were on top of the personnel grouping. They sent out a four wide receiver set. We were able to get into our six defensive back set and get the call, get the call in, and we were able to execute it. And Desmond did a very nice job in terms of getting the pass break up. So that game, like a lot of games, comes down to a handful of plays, and that was one of those five or six that made a difference.
How did you and your staff remain patient with so many young players? Almost two games.
I think it's something that our staff has done a very good job. There's going to be a learning curve. We say it all the time. We're getting experience. We're getting experience with on-the-job training. So we're going to get a good evaluation of a lot of guys in the last quarter of the season. And I think it's going to pay dividends for us moving forward. We're going to be able to determine who can play, and they're going to be put in a lot of different situations. Yesterday we wanted to see, even though he's a second-year player, we wanted to see how Jonathan Massaquoi could handle playing 85% of the snaps in the ball game. And if you look at the play count, that's about where he was. And so we've tried to look at this last quarter of the season a little bit differently. We're trying to win every football game, but we also need to evaluate these young players moving forward.
Rookies on defense yesterday?
Yes.
With that said, they were part of a group that forced the seven turnovers. Is that a positive outlook for the future, that core young group was responsible for those contributions?
Well, it's good to have those young guys getting some experience. The two corners have probably got the most experience in terms of snaps in Paul Warlow, but we did get Stanley Mapungas more snaps. Malachi Goodman, who had the fumble recovery in the ball game, and it just continues to pay benefits for us. We're just kind of paying forward right now and getting experience with these young players. We're not where we want to be as a team record wise, but we can use these games to find out and evaluate our young players.
Will we stay young for the 49er game?
Will we stay young?
Yeah, we've been fighting for the playoffs.
Well, they're a very good football team. They've got an outstanding running game with Frank Gore. Anquan Boldin is an outstanding wide receiver. They got two outside linebackers that can rush the passer, and Ahmad Brooks and Alden Smith. They both have 8.5 sacks, so it's going to be a challenge for us. We're going to go out there and play against a good football team and see how we match up with the guys that we have on our roster right now.
The explosive plays you have in the passing game, how much of that is on the young guys?
A lot of it is youth. John, there were two specific plays that were two of our young guys, and then the touchdown pass after the explosive run was on one of our young guys. I'm not going to call them out specifically, but we had no chance on the touchdown pass after the explosive run. It was kind of what we call a foobar. It was not lined up correctly, didn't have a chance. Guys back there that had a little bit of an issue getting lined up on that specific play.
You see Corrales every day in practice. You face Jimmy Graham. Where does Vernon rank among the upper echelon of tight ends in this league?
I think he's right up there with him. He has a little different skill set in that he's a burner. He can really run fast. I can remember watching him at the combine run his 40, and he turned a lot of heads. It was one of those that you saw everybody taking the watch and turning and going, I got this, did you get that? So he's a very fast fast tight end, probably faster, much faster than the two or three guys that you mentioned.
The sequence, Mike, of second, third quarter, those three-play sequences, one of them results in the Garcon touchdown that you were just referring to, and the other one is Steven Jackson's, you know, return. I mean, his run there at the goal line. How do you use those things as teaching opportunities for the young guys?
Well, there were so many teaching opportunities. I thought we had a really good opportunity there at halftime as a coaching staff to give those guys teaching situations, because we didn't play well there in the second quarter defensively. There was four plays that basically were almost consecutive plays. There were a couple of other plays sprinkled in there where we gave up 150 yards. And a lot of it had to do with eyes and looking where you were supposed to be looking. Teaching moments where if you're getting beat on a double cut, if you're going to hold the defender, make sure that you hold him good, where he doesn't get the opportunity to still catch the football. You take the 5-yard penalty on a defensive holding. Then those are all things that our young guys are going to learn. There were some run fits that hurt us on the explosive run in terms of the rotation. The technique that we used on a long run. So they're all learning opportunities for our guys. And as coaches, you don't want to have those negative learning situations. You want to have those positive learning situations. We've had way too many negative learning situations in this ball game and the entire season.
When you talk about that teachable moment at halftime, you blown 14, nothing made you down 20-17. Was your demeanor patient, or was it angry?
Patient. You've got to be patient. Look, those guys are out there. They're trying their hardest. They're giving their effort. Our guys have not lacked effort all season long. It's really been about execution. And as a coaching staff, you've got to make those adjustments at halftime, and you have to talk to the guys about how we're going to do it better the next time we have an opportunity to be put in that situation. Yes, you've got to make some subtle adjustments, but more times than not, most of the adjustments are made on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If you're going to get after them and yell at them, I found it's better to do it on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. You want to be as supportive. That's a hard, physical, mentally tough game that those guys play, and you want to be as supportive as you can as a coach and as a coaching staff.
You were very complimentary towards Kaepernick last year leading up to the game. Then you see him in person for the first time. What did you do, anything, you know, maybe that you're like, wow, you see him in person as opposed to watching him on game film?
Zach, I think his ability to make people miss was the thing that I think I'm most impressed with, and he throws the ball a lot better. He's not a running quarterback. He's a guy that can throw the football and make things happen when the integrity of a play breaks down, and he can make things happen when they run the read option, and they do have that element in their offense.
Could be the final game ever in Candlestick. Do you have a Candlestick story you want to
tell? No. I know that I've been cold out there in September and in October, so it's one of the older stadiums. I have not personally spent a whole lot of time there. I know Mike Nolan spent time there as the head football coach. He may have some Candlestick stories. I always thought it was a little different venue in terms of that there's a place as you come out of the locker room that their seats that I guess that they don't use because they're not viewable seats. I always thought that was interesting. There were always a few stragglers in there that were going to give you their opinion of how you played coming off at halftime or at the end of the ball game.
Coach, you talked about the young guys, but what about Jonathan Davino? I mean, he seemed like he was pretty disruptive. Just about his season, is this a guy that you want to remain a part of this?
Well, Jonathan Davino, I think, has really had a very good season. He's been very disruptive. Jonathan makes those plays in the defensive backfield. Many times he's led the league since we've been here in minus yardage plays. He had the two fumble recoveries. Jonathan has the ability to basically play in three of the four spots on our defensive front. And he's a very good leader of that group, has been since we've been here. He's probably the one constant that we've had now since day one. Jonathan is a tough, hard-nosed, smart football player. I'm not going to talk specifically about what guys' contractual situations are, but Jonathan's been an integral part of our success here, and I can hope that he continues to be an Atlanta Falcon. We all do. We want all of these guys we want to have an opportunity to work with them.
How does winning two of your last three games help prepare you for back-to-back matchups against two likely playoff teams?
Well, I think we've played better football here over the last month. I think we've done a much better job on the defensive side of taking the ball away. We've had the turnovers in the last three games have spiked up, and that's important. You've got to be able to take the ball away on defense. I thought that we played the run a little bit better. Yesterday we did have the one explosive two explosive runs. One was 15 yards, and then the long run before the touchdown. So it's good for us to play efficient football. I think we've gotten better on special teams. We're getting close on some of our returns, and I thought we did a very good job kicking the ball. Matt Boscher has become a very good weapon, not only on kickoffs but on punts. Did a very good job for us. We got a turnover on special teams. So if you start taking the ball away, you enhance your chances of winning.
Coach, how do you handle the notion that, hey, this is a rematch from the championship game, but, you know, things haven't worked out so well for you guys where they've been able to maintain?
The dynamics of every game are different. Our season is not the way that we wanted it to go. Theirs is they're in a different place. We're going to go out and compete against a very good football team, and we want to finish strong just like they want to finish strong, and that's the way that you have to approach it.
You mentioned the explosive plays, Coach. Is it always one of your major concerns in stopping that, or is it possibly more of a priority considering the wide receivers in Davis and Gordon?
It's one of the biggest markers that we look at. The first one is winning the turnover battle, and believe it or not, the second one is winning the explosive battle. You put those two things together, and it's the toxic differential that you look at. And more times than not, the teams that are in the top 12, you're going to see 9 out of 12 of them usually are in the playoffs that are at the top in that in those categories. So if you look at your turnover margin to your opponents, your explosives to your opponents, and put a number on that plus or minus, and more times than not, the teams that are good at that are teams that are playing in the playoffs. I do not have an update on Sean. We met this morning, and there was not an update. So I anticipate that if there's anything that you guys need to know, we'll let you know. If not, on Wednesday, we'll see where he's at. Believe that he'll be ready to go at some point in time this week.
Offensive line?
They're a big, strong defensive line. Those two outside linebackers, as I mentioned, there's 17 sacks between those two, and they do a very good job of winning the line of scrimmage. It will be a big challenge for our offensive line. Defensively, they are a very physical front, and they've got arguably one of the best linebackers and Patrick Willis lining up behind them.
Thomas
Dacos, he progressed? Thomas will go to the next step in the protocol, which will be he will be participating in practice on Wednesday, but it will be non-contact, which is the next step in the protocol. So we're anticipating that we'll have Thomas back, barring any setbacks in practice.
Any consideration to shutting him down?
He is, again, guys, the doctors will make that decision based on what they say. If they have cleared him to go out and play, we need to have Thomas out there on the field. He gives us the best chance to win.
That being said, Zeke admitted he made a mistake. He should have been over the top on a touchdown. How did you evaluate him and, you know, some of the things in his first start?
I thought Zeke did some good things. Obviously, as we mentioned, there's some learning there's some learning opportunities and some learning situations on certain plays. I thought as the game went on, he played much better. There at the end of the ball game, I thought that he made some very physical tackles, and it was his first, it was his first time starting in the National Football League, and he did a good job for us.
How much did Mike Nolan's defensive adjustment at halftime help guys like that, help the young Dennis?
Well, again, I think we our eyes were a whole lot better in the second half. And what I mean by our eyes, they were supposed to where they were supposed to be in terms of their keys. And we didn't have a bunch of free runners. But I thought that the staff did a very good job in making adjustments there at halftime, especially there in the third quarter where I believe they had 13 total yards. And they had a lot of yards in the ball game. So we did a very good job coming out and getting them in the three and out situations.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Thank you.